18 today. Luke 18. I'm only going to preach 10, 12, 15 minutes. But I do want to share this with you because it's so lined up with our service. I'll be honest with you. A lot of times I'll ask Brother David, Brother Tim for the service. We got any specials, what we need to do. But we just try to follow the Lord and His leadership for our service. And it seems like everything has been focused on prayer this morning. So in Luke 18, Brother Philip was standing up Wednesday night and he preached out of Luke 17 about the lepers that were cleansed. It was 10 cleansed, but only one turned back to give him praise. And I like what they said in prayer room this morning about Brother Vince standing up and testifying. Let me tell you something. If you don't like people standing up and testifying, go find you another church where they don't like it. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's all I know to tell you. I ain't throwing water on nothing. I'm going to throw gas on praise. Amen. I've been around enough deadness. And we ought to enjoy God. And so that old leper, Brother Mikey, turned around, give God praise. I will ask y'all boys something. Didn't I cleanse 10 of you? Said, where's the 9? I always love to preach that Thanksgiving. And I sat in there this morning and said, Lord, this ain't a Thanksgiving sermon. I looked at Renee last night. I said, I've got to preach this and mind God in the morning. She said, that's a pretty good idea. Luke 18, verse number 1. The Bible said, and it does matter what the Bible says. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward. He said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, and though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily or mightily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. Honor and reverence in the Word of God. Preaching just simply out of this parable of praying. You know, I read this text as a young man and it's really stood up in my life for years. I had one friend one time told me, he said, you know, if you ask God something, you don't need to talk with Him about it again. But this text rose up in my heart when he said that. And so it teaches us about the persistence of praying. And so here in this text, there's just simply a few little items I want to bring to light. First of all, notice verse 1, there's a command involved. A command. Jesus spake this parable to them. What is a parable? Well, Jesus spoke in parables to, in earthly situations that we might comprehend His heavenly meaning, what He meant for us. So He brings it down to us so we could understand. This is what He said about this command. Men ought always to pray. Here, the King James writers, as they were writing, and hear this word, men. In the Greek, it means all people. Everybody. He's wanting everybody to pray. So there's the command. Look, he ought always to pray. He's really not saying that you would not necessarily not only do better, but we are commanded to pray. To pray. And so we see this command. It's not just a simple thing of whether we feel good or not, but we ought to. And so not only the command, verse 2, there's a city. Would you look what was in this city? There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. I seen that, Brother Randall, that city raised up in my heart when I read it Wednesday night. And you know, we're living this world in a lot of cities, but I'm glad I'm going to the city where there's somebody that always judges right. And so here in this city, it was simply a fearless judge. Look what he said. He feared not God, neither regarded man. And he was pretty proud of it. Because in verse 4, he speaks that again. He said he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. I want you to realize that, this fearless judge. It was dark abroad, and it was bad at home. It reminds me in the cities that we live in down here. Here this unjust judge, he feared not God and he didn't even regard man. It was dark abroad. It was bad at home. And watching this little text, there's no reverence for God, and then there's no respect of man. You see, our attitude about God will always determine our attitude about man. I want to say that again. Our attitude about God will always determine our attitude about man. Some of you look at people and say, well, they get what they deserve. I realize that, but what do we deserve? The reason you don't like people different than your skin color because you don't love God enough. And the reason you don't love poor people enough because you don't love God enough. And the reason you won't get along with your brothers and sisters in Christ because you don't love God enough. He said, forgive. And if we're going to be Christians, it does matter how much we love God. It affects other people. I want to love God with all my heart. I want to love everybody. As far as I know, if I go to heaven December the 5th, honey, you write this down. I went to heaven without anything bad in my heart. Jesus said, forgive your enemies. It's hard to forgive people that don't love you. But I've worked on it and worked on it. So I've noticed that our attitude about God will always determine our attitude about others. This explains the behavior in society and the church. You think about that a minute. If our nation really loved God, look how much better off we'd be. You really think about it. If we really loved God, how much better our church would be. We wouldn't look down on nobody. You know, I don't want to run no rabbits, but I'm not going to preach, be able to preach for several weeks in a few weeks. But so I want to get some preaching done right now. I remember some people years ago come in and sit down in somebody's place. They come out of Sunday school in them days, said, excuse me, you're in my place. They went and sat down another place. And this is a couple I've been inviting to church for years. And somebody come out and was that stupid again. And said, you're in my place. They got up and they left. They never come back. I'm glad that was years ago. Let me get off that. I'm on gunpowder this morning. But you know something? The way we love God, it affects how we love other people. When people come in and don't look like us, we ought to love them, welcome them. Amen. Jesus died for all of us. I'd hate to know I stand before God. He told me, you know that fellow you'd said that couldn't have your seat that Sunday. He died and went to hell. Because you didn't love me enough to love somebody. So the city, it was a fearless judge. Don't forget that. No reverence for God, no respect of man. So there is a command, there's a city. But in this city, there was a fearless judge. There was a faithful woman. I love this woman. She really has a very poor case. Look in verse 3. She's a widow woman. There was a widow in that city. And the Bible speaks much of widows. It teaches the church to take care of the widows and the orphans. So here's a lady that don't know how her husband died. We just know she was a widow. She had experienced some very hard times. And so we see in this city, there's a fearless judge, there's a faithful woman. We'll notice in verse 3, we see her pouring. She came unto him, she came to this ruthless judge, and she came unto him. Boy, aren't you glad that we've got a God, we can come to Him. He don't judge us, He simply just lets us come. So we see her poor and she came unto Him. But look in verse 5, her persistence. This is what I want you to get today. The Bible says she came to Him in verse 4, and He would not for a while, but afterward He said within Himself, yet because this widow in verse 5 troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Her persistence by her continual coming. Sometimes we have to pray more than one time. When I get to heaven, I don't think God's going to call me down about being good to people. I don't think He's going to call me down because I asked Him things. Her persistence. We must realize just because that He is God, that we must let down in our persistence. He wants us to come to Him. So this faithful woman, her case, we find her poor and she came to Him. We find her persistence. But then look in verse 4. Watch this. This little text is loaded. Look at her patience. And He would not for a while, but afterward. Ever seem like to you your prayer's been on hold? But you'll notice in her persistence, she had great patience. She just kept on coming and praying. You know, Brother Doyle spoke last Sunday the way the Lord had touched his brother. How many prayers has he made for him? And it seems like in this delay, and you know, you'll notice in this, back over to verse 1, he says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What would cause us to faint? What would cause us to not have persistence? I wrote a few things down. I want to say, first of all, that sin or defilement would keep us from being persistent. It would keep us where we would be fainting. Defilement. Psalm 66:18. I want you to listen to this. I've been reminded of this verse several times in my life. I try to live by it, and I want you to see it. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm harboring sin in my life, it causes me to faint because of my defilement. When you have sin in your life, the last thing you want is to get next to God. And your sin won't let you get next to God till you confess it. But boy, aren't you glad He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So defilement causes us to faint. And then distractions. Boy, how many times are we distracted in our praying? You know, I've become, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know if I'm addicted to the phone or I just get so many calls and texts, I just can't go nowhere without it. We go out on the golf cart to ride the lake, me and Renee. I turn around and wait, I've left my phone. Somebody's going to call. Boy, we're so distracted. I've noticed, Brother Lee, I've got to cut my phone off and leave it in the den to go in my study to pray. It don't matter who texts us right then, I've got to pray. Boy, distractions. We get so distracted. I've noticed that this would cause us to faint. And then I want to say not only defilement and distractions, but delay. But when your prayers aren't answered, it's easy to quit praying about them. Delay. Delay. And then in discouragement. I wonder how discouraged this little lady was. She just kept on praying. Ain't you ever been discouraged? I've heard a lot of crazy remarks from people through the years that, well, boy, I could never get discouraged And I never could get down in my mind like that. Well, you may be able to hit a low place for God to show you that you're human too. So delay and discouragement would cause us to faint. And then even disease or sickness. And isn't this amazing? A man can get so sick that he really doesn't want to pray. And that's why we need brother and sisters together. When nobody else individually can pray, we can pray for them and you can pray for me. So we ought not to faint.
Amen.
Keep a praying. Let me ask y'all something. How many churches? I'm not tooting our horn. I'm about done preaching, but I just want to bring things to life. How many churches do you know would really do what we do in our services on praying for one for another? Not many. They're going to stay on that itinerary. Somebody's hand them. This is what we got to do. But let me tell you something. When we get too busy to pray, we done got way too busy. That's where our help comes from. My wife loves that electric golf cart we've got. My grandkids, they'll run it up and down that gravel driveway, up and down, up and down. They pull it in the barn, we get ready to get on. If it ain't plugged up, it ain't going to go nowhere. So it is with us in praying. This morning, I'd handled several things trying to get the sermon ready, and I got to thinking, Lord, I hadn't prayed this morning. I'll just sit here a few more minutes. And all of a sudden, I decided, Brother Lee, no, I better close my Bible. I better go to my altar and I better go pray this morning. And when I went and prayed, Brother Jerry, and come sat down, this thing just started flowing. We can get so distracted, can't we? Oh, how we need the Lord to hear our prayers. And so this faithful woman, her case, she was poor and she was persistent. She was patient, but then in verse 5, she found some pity. Yet because this widow troubleth me, but the unjudged said, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. You know what that means? It was going to disturb him. It's going to not really nag him, but it's going to cause him to rise to action. So in this text, there's a command. Men ought to always pray. There's a city, a fearless judge, and a faithful woman. Her pouring, her persistence, her patience, but her pity. But then notice, not only the command, the case, the city, but look in verse 6 at the conclusion, what the Lord said. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Boy, isn't that true? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? That's a total different sermon. There He's talking about when the Lord returns, would He even find faith on the earth? The Bible says it'll wax worse and worse. I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom. I'm just telling you, we're living in the last days and Jesus has come. So we must remember what this little widow done in this great parable by her continual coming. Continually. You know, I've got an uncle I've been praying for years. Through this text, I was reminded to pray for him again. For the things that we need in our life, the Lord don't want us to give up. Sometimes He's got things on hold for a reason. You see, she didn't give up because the Lord didn't answer her prayer. She just kept praying. Mom and Dad, keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your grandchildren. Keep praying for your preacher and your church and your loved one. Keep praying for our nation. We still live in the greatest nation under God's heaven, the land of the free. And so this week, many of us will get together on Thursday. Our table will be loaded. Most of you will have two different sets of parents to go through by Thursday night. And come supper time, you don't even want no more ham or turkey. But you remember how good God's been to you. And He's been real good to us. I appreciate your attention this morning. We'll ask our ushers to come. Every first Sunday, I know.